Hello.
Welcome to The Hunter. Have you been here before?
I probably have, a very long time ago. I don't remember it.
Yeah. Now, you have come here. You live half your time in the UK and half your time here in Australia. What do you spend most of your time doing?
Most of the time I'm either writing, researching or presenting on anything to do with autism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you say your main aim these days is to increase awareness?
It is a bit more than increase awareness. It's also equip people. I'm an autistic adult, which means I was an autistic child. And I certainly grew up in a situation in a family and in an education system that didn't know how to handle me. So yes. I was very often in trouble. So it's also to give people some advice of how to work with us.
Autism is described as a spectrum these days. Where would you be on that spectrum?
I have a diagnosis of high-functioning autism, and that just means that I talk but have lots of difficulties that we see generally in other people who are living with autism.
Okay. I might come back to your story a bit more later on, but yeah. There'll be a lot of people listening to us who are still very confused as to what autism is. Mm. So I guess you've told this story many times. What do you say to people when they say, what is autism?
I guess I try to explain that autism means I'm not as socially equipped as probably a typical person might be. I'm going to have a lot of problems understanding metaphor. I'm going to be very literal. I'm going to be somebody who is easily obsessed by things that interest me and not very good at sharing interests of other people. I'm going to be somebody who might have an ordinary IQ, so I'm quite bright, but I'll appear as if I'm not very bright because I have problems crossing roads, I have problems doing my own shopping, I have a carer. Those sorts of things. So I process and think quite differently, but I'm certainly very able in situations, especially when I'm supported.
You actually have a carer.
Yes.
You've raised four kids, though, haven't you?
I have raised four children. I tend to think that they almost raise themselves.
And two of those are on the autism spectrum themselves.
Yep, I have two sons on the spectrum.
That must have been incredibly difficult for you and them.
A lot of times people say that, and I didn't really find it difficult. And maybe that's because I lived as part of a community in the bush, and we didn't do things like supermarkets. We grew our own vegetables. We had animals and chooks, etc. So we kind of lived away from the chaos of typical city life. The school my kids went to only had two classes. There were 20 kids in each class, and they had four teachers at that school, and they were with the children from age 5 through to when they went to high school. So I think I'm being particularly blessed.
Yes, that's very fortunate. Mm. So you're here to talk to an audience tonight at Cessnock West Public School, and many people in that audience will be teachers. Mm. Teachers, I guess, are in a very important position in society as far as identifying and helping people with autism.
Mm, they certainly are.
So what's your message to teachers?
Especially in kindy and primary years, really, because the foundation of getting things right. So we talk about early intervention. We talk about supporting kids when they're quite small and young so that those children can establish routines and patterns and begin to feel confident. So the message to the teachers is, I guess, in helping them understand autism so they're not scared of the kids. The children, autistic kids, are often very terrified very quickly and very overwhelmed, especially by lots of sensory things. So I'll be trying to explain what autism is and how to work with who we are as kids and then as older people too, to diminish some of that anxiety, increase confidence, so that teachers are better equipped.
I imagine you would find it quite comfortable in a radio studio. There's not too much to distract you in here. There's
certainly no
other noise.
No, that's good. You're quite right. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas a classroom, on the other hand, couldn't be more different.
It's really chaotic.
So much extra noise. So many people with their own agendas. So much. I mean, to some extent, in a classroom these days, many classrooms would be deliberately overstimulating just their visual environment. Lots of artworks on the walls, balloons hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
For an autistic kid,
that's often a nightmare, to be honest. Yeah, I encourage teachers to do things like put the artwork behind dividers in the room, and the kids can go visit artwork instead of having it all hanging and jumping at you from the walls. Fluorescent lights are a trigger for epilepsy, and epilepsy occurs more in autism than it does in the typical population. So we encourage them not to use fluorescent lights, to bring in incandescent lights. So I know that we've all switched over to non-incandescent light bulbs, but in autism that's not so helpful.
There's a connection I didn't know about there before.
Yeah?
So there is a connection between epilepsy and autism.
They co-occur more frequently in the world of autism than in the typical population. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I notice you're wearing what I know, because I know someone who has them, Erlen glasses. So Erlen syndrome, which is connected in some ways to dyslexia, is that also connected to autism?
It appears to be, certainly again, more likely to occur in the world of autism than in the typical population.
Yeah.
And sometimes at a conference, you spot the autie because they've got coloured lenses. So,
uh-huh.
There are more of us wearing Erlen lenses.
If you are listening at home, don't know about Erlen lenses, they've got a colour to them, and the colour is specifically diagnosed for the person who has the condition to help them to, I thought, read, but you're wearing them all the time.
I absolutely wear them all the time. It's not just for reading, they actually help me judge distance, so I'm less clumsy.
Uh-huh.
They help me, with reading and writing, which are not so easy for me to do. They stop words from moving around, and they keep the spacing between words I see better, but also the spacing between other objects. Walking down a street, I'm not very good at crossing roads, but I am better than I used to be, much better with my Erlen lenses than without them.
Uh-huh. There's another condition, Asperger's syndrome, that people might have heard of. Where does that fit into autism?
Asperger's is really given to a type of autism after a gentleman called Hans Asperger's, who first identified it in the 1940s. And in fact, it's going to be very likely a term that's becoming redundant, because we're now thinking more that it's the same as high-functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
So Asperger's will sort of be phased out, and people will more likely be known as having high functioning autism.
He called them his little professors, didn't he?
Which kind
of describes why, for instance, some of our selective schools, I know Merriweather High School has a lot of Asperger's kids going to that school because they find it hard to function in a normal comprehensive school.
Yep.
And to some extent, those kids with Asperger's syndrome are best suited to the particular environment of a selective school.
Yep,
of an academically selective school.
I agree, totally. I don't know if you've heard of Temple Grandin, but she's a lady in the US, and she says things like Silicon Valley and NASA is full of people with Asperger type autism.
So nerds, in other words.
Yep, geeks.
Geeks and nerds.
Yep, that's where we often
Asperger's
fit.
Syndrome. Yeah. Sheldon on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
you're a fan of
classic.
The Big Bang Theory?
Absolutely, yeah.
So do you actually sort of think, I know all about you, Sheldon?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Talking to you, however, you couldn't be more different to Sheldon.
I'm very different.
I cannot see any symptoms that I would go, there's something different about this person. You seem to be functioning totally as anybody else would expect you to in society.
I guess in this situation in particular, one-on-one, I'm much better than in a group. And it is interesting that females on the spectrum do present quite differently to the males anyway. You know, we've got the double X chromosome and a less testosterone, et cetera. So there is a definite difference for those of us. They used to think that autism was more of a male disposition, but that's changed rapidly in the last couple of years. Research coming out of Sweden in particular that is showing that girls are almost as likely to have Asperger's or autism as the boys.
How many people are likely to get it? How frequently does it occur in society?
Current statistics say 1 in 58 children, which is Very different.
One in, say, every two classes in a school.
That's right. Absolutely right.
That's a lot of kids in most of your schools.
We will take over the world.
You will, particularly if everyone's like you, that you for one autistic person in you have two autistic kids. You'll take over the world that way.
Absolutely, we're getting there.
Would the world be a better place, do you think?
In some respects, if it was left to the socialites, you know, we'd be still living in caves. So I think it's just as well we came on the scene, really, and got things done. I think we keep you honest. I think that, in some respects, the typical world is used to dishonesty and deception, and that's where we don't fit at all. So we are at a disadvantage in that realm. Our honesty gets us into trouble.
Wendy, the big thing, I suppose, that many people who are concerned that their kids may have autism would get from listening to you is that they can see a wonderful, warm, functioning person. And is that fair for parents to get that expectation that they would think, oh, she can do it, then therefore my kid can do it?
In some ways, no, it isn't, because in autism we're more different than we are alike. But having said that, I think, to be fair to the kids, when we have motivated children, when we have kids who feel valuable, no matter what their level of functioning, we have a better outcome for the future. It's kids who don't feel valued that I worry about it. Kids who don't fit anywhere. And that doesn't necessarily mean just autistic kids. That's true for any human. So I do, as Tim said earlier, I do talk about diffability, being differently abled, and one you can, once you actually catch on or cotton on to what motivates an autistic kid, you know, being able to speak is not the be and end all of everything. I think talk is cheap. I could say almost anybody can do it. Communication, that's an art, and there's never been a better time to be autistic with technology, the sorts of assistive devices that are around now. Kids can be equipped to communicate.
Well, hopefully what we've been doing is communicating rather than talking. Yeah. And it's been a pleasure meeting you, Wendy. I hope you are very successful in spreading the word and helping the teachers and other people who are coming to Cessnock West Public School tonight for your talk. Yeah. It is booked out, we should say, so unless you're already booked in, you'll have to wait for Wendy Lawson's next visit. Wendy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.